Today I'd like to talk with you about the certainty of the Christian for his journey and look at how we can remain stable and steadfast in our faith and our certainty in Jesus Christ all the way to the day of his coming. Because if you recall last week, we took a look at how we are like the pilgrims on the Mayflower ship sailing across the sea from England to America. That is, the church is like a ship sailing from England, which is the start of the world, the start of time, across the sea of time, across the great Atlantic, to America, namely the coast, the end of time, and the new world to come, the real land of the free and the home of the brave, Christ's kingdom. And so we looked at how close are we to having finished this journey across from England to America, from the start of time to Christ's kingdom on the last day. And we saw how, as we look at some of the signs in the world, it sure seems we're drawing near to the coast and coming very near it as we sail. And we saw how the Bible, very clearly, the Word forecasts for us perilous waters and stormy weather towards the very end of the journey. As we draw near to the coast, to the end of this world, to the return of Christ, to the new world that's coming, as we come towards the end of this world, toward that coast, we should expect stormy seas and rough weather. And so I thought today would be a great day for us to take a look at how we can have certainty, stability, and security in Jesus Christ in the midst of those troubled waters, those perilous times to come, into which it seems we may indeed be sailing through the history of time. And so how can we do that? I mean, we're going to face potentially fierce weather, great raging waves. And picture yourself right now on the Mayflower with black threatening clouds racing overhead, the waves just billowing up and breaking at the tops and the crests and the waves and the troughs, and the wind whistling in the rigging and howling and the rain pelting you. How are you and I going to keep our feet steady on the deck of the ship of the church in those perilous times and those stormy seas and that rough weather and not lose our footing? That's our subject for today. And let's take a look at how we can do that according to God's word for our help in Christ in the final troubled days of the world. Well, the first thing I think we can do from the scriptures is acknowledge that when we face troubled times, stormy weather in our lives, be it now or at the end of the world, it's tough to keep our footing, isn't it? I mean, in fair weather, anybody can do it, kind of, but in rough weather, it's difficult. I mean, look at Jeremiah, way back in the ancient times. The whole country at that time was overcome by an enemy. And he says, when he felt that way and saw all that, "My soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say, gone is my glory and my expectation from the Lord." It was tough for him to keep his feet steady on the deck in those troubled times. Look at David. He had troubled times too. Psalm 13, when his enemies surrounded him, he said, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day and my enemy be exalted over me?" That was tough for him to keep his feet steady when the ship went up and down and pitched and rolled in those waves. We also see that was tough for Paul in his days. He says in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, "We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the affliction we experienced while we were in Asia. Why, we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself." So when you face troubled times, or I do, or when the church as a ship sails close to the coast to the very end of time and stormy weather rises, and we face that in these coming days, how are we going to stay steady and remain certain and sure and strong on the deck of the ship of the church as we head toward the coast, the final days, the troubled days to come, the final days of this world? Well, let's see what the Lord would tell about that. And I think to start out in that, answering that, we should look at where we shouldn't look. Where should you not look? And what you should you not take hold of to steady yourself on the deck of the ship? Well, take a look at unbelievers, for example. Who do they look to, and to what do they take hold? Not that they're really on the ship, they're castaways in the sea. But what do they look to for their strength in the final days and troubled times of the world, at the end of the world? Well, they would look to themselves, right? To their own strength, because after all, they don't believe in God, or they'd be believers. Since they have no God, they can only look, who's left? To their own strength. They might say, like, I know I'll get through these tough times, for my bank account is full, right? My health is vibrant. My wit is sharp, therefore I know that I'll stand. That will not avail on that day. What are they looking to? They're looking to themselves for their strength and stability in troubled times. Is that going to work? In the troubled times to come, into which we're heading as a world? Well, Isaiah 10, I'll just borrow this verse. God says, but what will you do on the day of punishment, in the storm which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your wealth? Nothing remains but to crouch among the prisoners or fall among the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. In other words, the storm will rage even fiercer than that. Not going to go well in that case to stand on your own strength. Amen? Unbelievers, do not rely upon your own strength. For we hear of the last days, Jesus says, Luke 21, there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Yeah, you're going to stand against that with your own strength? Forget it. No way. You're going to be carried away with the wind and sink. So don't go that route, God says. Don't look there, nor take hold of what they take hold of. That's not the way to go. But other people, you could look at people within the visible Christendom, the visible church. Some might look to the words of the church fathers, or maybe to church traditions, perhaps even to a pope for their stability in those days. Is that going to work? No. Why? Don't look there. Don't take hold of those, God says, because, first of all, traditions, those are just from men. They're not from the scriptures. And traditions are not going to sustain you then. They're not something reliable to grab hold of to steady you on the deck of the ship as it pitches and rolls in the last days of trouble. And as for the Pope, well, he too is just a man, and he can err. In fact, he has erred greatly. What do we read of the first supposed Pope, Peter? In Galatians 2, Paul says, but when Peter, or Cephas, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from the James, he ate with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. So Paul had to stand up to the supposed first pope, who was in error, and put him in his place. And I believe Peter probably repented immediately and came to the side of the right. But if the first supposed pope can err, how much more those who followed him? He is not one to look to or to trust and take hold of as the deck is heaving and pitching and rolling this way and that, and the great crests and the troughs of the waves of the perilous times of the end of this world. Don't look to him, God says. That would sink you like an anchor. Thirdly, we could maybe look to the liberal churches. You think we could do that of Christendom, visible Christendom? Do they have something to teach us of some stronghold, a handhold to which we can lay hold and steady ourselves in the perilous times of the last days? Well, to what do they direct themselves and to their people to hold fast to? Well, not to the Bible, because, you know, they would confess the Bible to be full of errors and not reliable They'll pick and choose like passages that they like, that suits their likings, and they'll twist them to their own meanings. But that's they don't look to that, but to rather their own imaginations, their own opinions, or their passions, their general assemblies, and to popular culture. Because really, sorry to say it, but a lot of visible liberal Christendom is following the world rather than the world following the church. The church is getting changed by the world, and they follow whatever the trend in the world is these days that the church loves. Is that going to work, by the way? In perilous times, when the wind whistles in the rigging and the ship is this way and that, and you're trying to steady yourself? Don't go there, God says. For whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God, says James in James 4. Don't go that way. That's like being on a ship and grabbing hold of a napkin and thinking that as it's blowing about the deck, if I hold to this, it will save me. No, you will pitch over the side, the waves will sweep you away, and you'll be lost at sea and sink if you take hold of that. But how about if we look to our conservative, Bible-believing Christian brothers and sisters in visible Christendom? Can we, with them, find a place to take hold of in the perilous last times of the world, to steady ourselves on the deck of the church as she sails toward the coast, the new world? Answer, yes, actually, absolutely. Because our brothers and sisters who believe the Bible, as we do, hold it to be without error and infallible, and taking hold of this, they will be secure. So we and they are in agreement on this one, amen? That will steady you, and we know that we're saved by the gospel, by faith in Christ, by God's grace. And they would quote the Bible, we quote the Bible. But I want to warn you today about a temptation that is for our brothers in other denominations, Bible-believing Christians, as well as for ourselves, that we may be tempted in the storm not only to lay hold of the word, but also to something in ourselves, to our own, let's say, convictions. Let's say the storm is raging, okay? We're heading towards the perilous last days of the world. What are you going to lay hold of for your stability on the deck? Some would say, oh my goodness, there's a storm coming. I must lay hold of my own convictions. How strong am I in Christ? I'll lay hold of that. Or to my personal piety, I'm a good, sanctified Christian, that'll see me through. Or they might lay hold of a personal experience, as in some of the other churches, they are all about a personal experience of feeling close to Christ. Is that going to work in a storm? How about my prayer life? Oh yeah, my prayer life's really great. That is what's going to see me through. I'll put my trust in that. Or how about my works? I've done enough works. Or in some denominations, they might say, I'll get through the storm because I know, because I speak in tongues. Or I made a decision for Christ at an altar call once long ago, and that will be my security in troubled days. Or maybe even to my own faith, because I know my faith is strong, and I put my faith, therefore, in my faith to see me through, and therefore I'll stand secure. Are these things really going to work, do you think? You know what? In fair weather, they could help, because in some sense, and at times in Scripture, we're to look to our works to see if indeed we are in Christ. If we have works, we can say, yeah, I have a living faith. It'll help to confirm me in fair weather. But when the perils of the last days come, which remember, Jesus said through Paul in 2 Timothy 3 last week, those are days hard to bear, difficult, nearly unbearable, perilous. In that storm, in those black clouds flying and threatening over you, in the whistling wind in the rigging, in the raging waves, mounting up to the heavens and down again to the depths, is it going to be helpful to you to look to yourself and how good you are as a Christian and how strong your faith was in that day? In the days when, as Jesus says, if those days had not been shortened, no human being would be saved. but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Is that going to work in that storm? I'd say, and God would say, no, there's a far better place for you and me to look, to find our stability and security on that deck, that we not be shifted or moved, that our hearts not melt, but we stand strong and tall and certain, even to the very end of time, even with joy in those choppy seas. So where should we look? Well, let's consider the problem with all of the things I mentioned so far. The problem with these is you're looking to yourself. Did you hear that in all these? How strong am I? What is my emotional state? How many good deeds do I have? How righteous am I? What about my decision for Christ? Did I make a confession great enough? Is my faith strong? What's the problem with all these? You're looking to find your stability for the final days in yourself. And I tell you, that is a big problem. Why? Because when you look to yourself, you're always going to be able to find fault with it. Let's just picture yourself on the Mayflower crossing the sea, terrible storms coming up and down. You need to secure yourself on the deck. Well, let me ask, we look at ourselves, how is my emotional state today? Can I get security there? I feel crappy. How holy and righteous am I? Well, not been so great lately. Have I had enough good deeds recently? Well, hardly. How's my prayer life? Well, shouldn't even say the word I thought of. It falls far short. Is my decision for Christ, I made once at an altar call, was that sincere enough? Well, I've sinned since then. I don't know how sincere I really was because I've slipped. And how about, is my faith strong? In other words, should I put my faith in my own faith? Well, that's why I'm crying out to you, Lord, because my faith is not good right now. It's as if you're in a terrific storm and you're falling about the deck like this. The waves are crashing, the wind is howling, you're about to be swept away, and you're looking for a handhold to steady yourself, and someone cries out to you, "Grab yourself, man! Lay hold of your own leg! Hold your own arm! Grasp your own coat, man! You'll be steady!" Is that something helpful to you? You're rolling around. You don't grab onto yourself. You're the one who's unstable. You have faults. God says, don't therefore be stupid and grab hold of yourself to something inside of you for stability, security, and certainty in your journey in the perilous last days of the world. But rather, where indeed should we look? Christ tells us, he says, and here's the point for today. If you want stability and to stand strong and tall and sure, you must grab something outside yourself. You're unreliable, but there is something outside of you that is fixed, that is secure, that never moves and cannot be shaken. And what is that? Grab hold of, look to, and take hold of Christ and his word alone outside of you. And if you hold fast to that, you will be secure. What is this to say but to grab hold of the ship? You're rolling, you're falling. Don't grab and clutch yourself. Grab the ship, and it will hold you fast because it's not going down, and it will see you through. Christ and his word alone outside of you, that's forever fixed, immovable, and reliable and steady for you. Now, let me ask, did Jesus really teach this for us? Is that really where we should look in troubled times in our lives and towards the end of our journey to him and his word alone? Well, let's read it. John 8, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Grab hold of this, and you'll be free. Again, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. Grab hold of this, and you'll escape death and live," he says. The words that I've spoken to you, the words are spirit and life. Even Jesus, our Lord himself, when he was in the storm of the temptations of the devil in the wilderness, said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Even he, grabbing that which was outside of himself, firmly fixed the word of God. The apostles teach you the same thing. "But as for you," says Paul to Timothy, "continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, in knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And now I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So do you see how it's something outside of you? Say the word outside.
Outside.
Say the words firmly fixed.
Firmly fixed.
Say the words Christ and his word. Say the word alone. So get this, guys, it's outside of you. Hold the ship. Christ and his word, this is your stability, our stability in our troubled times and in the last perilous days of the world, which I believe we're sailing into. Are Christ and his word really secure for you, though? Well, what do we read in Scripture? Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. How about the Scriptures? Well, Psalm 119. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is firmly fixed in the heavens." It doesn't move. It's sort of like the star for the wise men in their journey, if you will. They didn't sit there in that far-off country in the east and say, "What do you think, George? I kind of imagine there might be a Christ born somewhere. What do you say, based on that feeling in ourselves, we go?" It's not what they said. "We've seen his star outside of us, up there in the sky. We know he's been born. Where is he?" And it led to the Christ, who was also firmly fixed in one position. Christ, I'll tell you, is the ship, immovable and impregnable fortress. His word will never fail you. It is forever firmly fixed in the heavens. It is our secure stronghold, our grasping place in troubled times, that you stand secure on the deck of the ship in the days to come. And the neat thing about this is when we grab only the word and Christ and his word alone, this book, his written word outside of you, has the power. When you take hold of it, it shoots strength into you. Because the Holy Spirit's in this book, this word has power. It has the power to give you faith, the faith you need. We read that faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching or the word of Christ. You don't want to go into the end times saying, "I have faith in my faith," because your faith is weak at times. Have faith in the word, which never fails. Martin Luther said, whenever he started to lose faith or get troubled or things became dim for him and he lost the certainty of his salvation and assurance of the truth, he says, "I take up a psalm or a passage of scripture. It shines into my heart and gives me new courage and a new mind." So it gives you what you're craving. You're craving security, amen? Stability, certainty. As the world goes nuts and crazy, as you touch this book and hold it alone, and Christ alone has the power to make you all the things you desire, certain and sure and strong again. So are you going to be in the Word this year? Let's do it together. What's this look like, though? How does this work? Well, whenever you, in your troubled times, feel unstable, insecure, afraid, like you're slipping on the deck, your footing is not sure, you start to doubt, you become fearful, you're not sure of your standing on the ship of Christ and of your assurance of salvation and the truth, what should you do? Should you look inside yourself? Are you listening to me? Should you say, "Oh, well, man, I see so much trouble in the world this year. How is my emotional state? Crappy. How is my piety? Not good. How's my prayer life? I've fallen short. In other denominations, how is my decision for Christ? tongue, I don't know if it was really sincere. How is my faith? Well, not so great. You can see how all of these are going to lead you to only doubt all the more and make you more unstable and not secure you. God says, far better, far, far better than all these is to grab that which is outside of you, firmly fixed, which cannot move and will be your strong security, Jesus and my word. Let's see what that looks like. Let's say you're sailing into rough times, troubled times this next year if you do, or towards the end of the world. God, I'm scared. This is stormy weather. Will you accept me, even sinful me? Don't look inside yourself. Hear the word. God says, fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. And he who comes to me, I'll not cast out. Doesn't that sound a lot better? How about this one? God, am I even really a Christian? We might ask that at times. God says, to all who received me, who believed in my name, I have given power to become children of God. And as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Boy, you are so secure when you hear that. You're hearing Christ and his word. But God, do you daily forgive me all my sins? I've sinned so much even after I got saved. I confess my sins, but I still feel so dirty. Do you still like me? Am I still saved? Well, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't go inside yourself and say, I feel dirty. Say, the word is said, I'm clean. That settles the matter. I'll return to good cheer. It's outside of you that settles you. But God, will I continue in the faith to the end through this storm and be saved? When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And I who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I won't fail you nor forsake you. I'm with you always to the close of the age. Therefore, you can confidently say, the Lord's my helper. I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? These are all scriptures, you see. Isn't this so much better than thinking and feeling and imagining yourself? Go outside of yourself and grab hold of the ship. What about the end of time? When we come to the very last day and we come towards the actual beach of the new world and the waves break on the shore, will I be swept away off the deck in that time, Lord, in the judgment and perish in the waters with all the sinners? Well, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. You'll only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you cleave to me in love, I'll deliver you. I'll protect you because you know my name. When you call to me, I will answer you. I'll be with you in trouble. I'll rescue you and honor you. With long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. Isn't that great? Isn't that secure? This is Christ's word that secures your faith, not you. And the Lord, Lord, will I really be raised at the last day from the cold grave to where I've returned to dust and stand before you in a glorified body? Jesus says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I personally will raise you up at the last day. Will I really see your face, Lord? You shall see my face, Revelation 22. And my name shall be upon your foreheads. And with me you shall reign forever and ever. And is there really a new world, Lord, across this great sea? I've been on it so long. Is there really a kingdom to obtain? Hebrews 11. There is a better country, a heavenly one, and I'm not ashamed to be called your God, for I have prepared for you a city. Isn't this marvelous? See how that helps you. So say it again with me, outside you.
Outside.
In Christ and his word.
In Christ and his word.
Alone.
Alone.
So this year, as Christ Lutheran Church, we don't know, it might be a great year. Could be a tough year. But what we need to do is get into this book. Fix our eyes, our hearts, and our grasp on this book this year. Don't go after, I think, I feel, I experience, I imagine. Go after, thus it is written, it is written, it is written, what the Lord has declared to you. Let that settle the matter and let that be the end of it. For Christ and his word will be the one to secure your hearts, confident and triumphant, certain on the deck of his ship to the coasts, to the day of his coming. Amen.